Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Thoris with the Odessa American News for Wednesday, March the 1st. The headlines is Sandra and Toby Eoff, honored at United Way Luncheon. Each year, the United Way of Odessa recognizes members of the community who help out with the nonprofit organization's mission of improving lives throughout the nine counties in which it serves. The United Way of Odessa held its annual 2022-23 meeting and awards luncheon Tuesday afternoon at the MCM Fun Dome and honored Odessa leaders. Among the awards given out was the Anita and Bill Elms Award, which was awarded to Sandra and Toby Eoff, as well as Odessa College President Gregory Williams. It means a lot to us because of what United Way of Odessa has done for the community, Sandra Eoff said. They've done so much. We love what they do now and how they honor the charitable organizations and the city with the grants they do. Several of the board members are recipients, and we just think United Way is a valuable asset to the city. Sandra Eoff is the president of Eofficial Enterprises, which was started to open the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in downtown. We have a distinguished award, the Anita and Bill Elms Award, and we honor longtime supporters of United Way, the United Way of Odessa Executive Director Christina Escobar said. Those supporters that are still with us, that support us and do so much for us, we honor them. Today we honored Toby and Sandra Eoff, and we're honored to have that support from them. But Sandra and Toby Eoff talked about how honored they were to receive the award. Having known Bill and Anita, they were very responsible citizens of Odessa, and they did a lot, Sandra said. It's an honor and privilege to follow them in their footsteps. If there was only one charity in Odessa to support, it would be the United Way because they support the majority of charities in Odessa, Toby said. They're a great organization. Several campaign awards were given out from the 2022 fundraising campaign that began back in August with the ceremony at Odessa College. Today, we also honored Odessa College for their campaign, Escobar said. They do tremendous things for us. They hold a large campaign with their employees and garner over $60,000 for us via payroll direct. So we honor Odessa College in that capacity. We also honor Dr. Gregory Williams and his team members for what they do for this community to help us serve families. The Volunteer of the Year Award was also given out before the end of the ceremony with marketing manager at JS Architects, Cristale Castillo, being this year's recipient. It means the world to me, Castillo said. I'm honored to be able to serve the city of Odessa in this capacity alongside United Way. The team is amazing, and they welcome me with open arms. To serve them is very easy from the heart. Castillo has served on numerous committees for the United Way of Odessa. Castillo has served in many different capacities for us, Escobar said. You can always depend on her to be at different fundraisers or on different committees, so we're lucky to have her. The United Way of Odessa supports programs in nine counties in West Texas, from Ector County to Culberson County and as far south as Brewster County. The purpose of the United Way is vital, Escobar said. It sort of serves as a warehouse for our agencies. We allow them to operate their agencies and serve their clients. They're the ones that see those clients firsthand. We want to be that background support that continues to fundraise and support them. We have 16 agencies that rely on our support, and we make it a goal to raise funds to support them and support the community. Obituaries and death notices. Vincent Jesus Flores, age 69, passed away on February the 25th in Midland. J. Hobbs McNew, Jr., passed away on February the 25th. Georgina Kelly passed away on February the 23rd. Brandon Lee Altman, age 45 of Odessa, passed away on February the 23rd. Cleoma J. Butler, age 86, passed away on Saturday, February the 25th. Larry Colbath, age 66 of Odessa, passed away on February the 24th. Janice Cooksey, age 69 of Odessa, passed away on Thursday, February the 23rd. Baldomero Flutes, 84 of Odessa, died Friday, February the 24th. Valerie Sack Piper, age 79 of Midland, died Wednesday, February the 22nd. Henry Salcito, 86 of Odessa, died Thursday, February the 23rd. Emma Ray Souter, age 84 of Odessa, died Wednesday, February the 22nd. And Jerry Don Wright, age 79 of Odessa, died Wednesday, February the 22nd.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, February 28th, 2023. Education articles. The 36th annual Midland Reporter Telegram Regional Spelling Bee was Saturday at Midland College. 35 spellers from the area competed in this spelling bee for the opportunity to represent the region at the Scripps National Spelling Bee, which will be held in Washington, D.C. on May 28. After 36 rounds and a championship word, Swetha Jayakumar of Young Women's Leadership Academy was named champion. Shreya Siva Kumar of Carver Center was named runner-up.
Parks and Rec host First Paint Night. The City of Odessa Parks and Recreation Department is hosting its first paint night on Tuesday for those who want to learn to paint. Paint Night will be an instructor-led class that will teach guests how to paint on a canvas, and they can take their painting home. The event is scheduled to start at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday at Josie's Grill, located at 4555 East University Boulevard, C1, Odessa, 79762. The cost is $40, which covers the cost of supplies. For those who wish to attend, purchase your tickets here at tinyurl.com/mtptuxud. This year, the City of Odessa Parks and Recreation is also offering new events such as the Barbecue Masters and Cornhole Bracket Battle coming up on March 18th, the Shamrock 5K that will be on March 11th, also Take Me Fishing at Comanche Trail Fishing Pond, and the Mother and Son, Father and Daughter dances are upcoming. Skate Park closing for repairs. The City of Odessa announced on Monday the Reuben Pier Memorial Skate Park will be closed beginning March 6 for repairs. The skate park, which is located at Sherwood Park, will have repairs done to address cracks and problems with the concrete. If the weather cooperates, the City of Odessa hopes the skate park will reopen in a week. For any questions, contact the Park and Recreation Department at 432-368-3548. Goodwill West Texas earns 3-year CARF accreditation. CARF International announced on Monday that Goodwill West Texas has been accredited for a period of 3 years for its employment and career center programs. The nonprofit organization received the accreditation with no recommendations for improvement, an accomplishment achieved by only 3% of the CARF surveys. This is the first accreditation the international accrediting body will give to Goodwill West Texas and the highest level of accreditation an organization may achieve. In order to receive the 3-year accreditation, Goodwill demonstrated its commitment to offering programs and services that are measurable, accountable, and of the highest quality. In addition to a thorough analysis of Goodwill's policies, procedures, and practices, the surveyors conducted confidential interviews with current and former persons served. I am extremely proud of the Goodwill West Texas team, Chief Executive Officer Rick Waldrop said in the press release, "This accomplishment is a testament to our commitment to the people we serve, donors, shoppers, employees, and clients alike. The Goodwill West Texas mission is to provide opportunities for people with barriers to employment. It provides employment services and programs to West Texans across a 35-county area through funds raised from donated items. This year is the organization's 40th anniversary. Supporters of Goodwill West Texas should know that their generous contributions are being used efficiently and effectively to make a difference in our community," Waldrop said in the press release.
Sol Ross State University offering summer housing scholarship to new freshmen, new transfers. Sol Ross State University will offer a summer housing scholarship for the 2023 summer term for all new students, including new freshmen and new transfers in Alpine. The summer housing scholarship provides financial assistance to students who are interested in living on campus during the summer terms. The scholarship is available for residence halls only and covers the cost of housing. Students are responsible for the cost of their meal plan. To qualify, new freshmen must complete a scholarship application and a residential living application and be approved to live on campus. Additionally, they must enroll in 6 semester credit hours for the summer term in which they are living on campus. The scholarship applies for both terms as long as they are enrolled in 6 semester credit hours per term. Dual credit students do not qualify for this scholarship. New transfer students must have a 2.0 GPA and meet satisfactory academic progress to be eligible for the scholarship. They must also complete a scholarship application and a residential living application and be approved to live on campus. Additionally, they must enroll in 6 semester credit hours for the summer term in which they are living on campus, and the scholarship applies for both terms as long as they are enrolled in 6 semester credit hours per term. To complete a residential living application, visit tinyurl.com/2CF3532R. For more information, contact the Office of Residential Living at 432-837-8190 or email reslife@solross.edu. OC Hoops to be on ESPN+. The Odessa College men's and women's basketball teams will play South Plains College February 27th at the OC Sports Center. The OC's men's and women's basketball teams have been selected to have their games streamed live on ESPN Plus as the NJCAA Game of the Week. The Lady Wranglers game starts at 5:45 p.m. and the Wranglers game at 7:30 p.m. Everyone gets in free. A tailgate will be held from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. with free food while supplies last. There will also be sign making, live music, games, and activities for everyone. Everyone is invited to blue out the sports center. So wear a blue shirt, paint your face blue, bring your sign for the game, and show the OC school spirit. Current OC students will have the chance to enter to win a $500 scholarship, and current OCA and OC Tech students will have a chance to win one of 2 $100 gift cards. Abbott TEA release teacher vacancy recommendations. Governor Greg Abbott announced Friday the release of the final report of the Teacher Vacancy Task Force that focuses on 3 primary areas of policy recommendations to address school district staffing challenges in Texas. In March 2022, Abbott directed Texas Education Agency Commissioner Mike Morath to immediately create a task force to help school districts address ongoing staffing retention and recruitment challenges. Educating Texas students is crucial for the continued success of our great state, and teachers play a pivotal role in that success, Abbott said in the press release. I think the teachers and school leaders on this task force for their work addressing full-time and substitute teacher vacancies in Texas schools. Their recommendations will help ensure that best practices and resources are available for teacher recruitment and retention. Working with the Texas legislature, we will develop and implement strategies that attract, retain, and support highly qualified educators to provide students across the state with even greater opportunities to learn and grow. Teachers are the single most important in-school factor in the educational outcomes of students, and we must ensure they feel valued, supported, and able to remain in the classroom if they so choose, Commissioner Morath said in the press release. The work of the task force has further illuminated critical issues facing Texas public schools and has provided concrete steps to move forward. I am grateful for their thoughtful and insightful approach to developing practical policy recommendations that help address these challenges. Within three main policy categories, compensation, working conditions, and training and support, prioritized recommendations include funding an increase to overall teacher salaries through an increase to the basic allotment, an increase in the minimum salary schedule, and expansion of strategic compensation systems such as the teacher incentive allotment. Expanding high-quality grow-your-own pathways, teacher apprenticeships, and full-year paid teacher residencies. Funding for and increasing the scale of the Mentor Program Allotment, MPA. Funding, professional learning, and support for teachers to access and utilize high-quality instructional materials. Conducting teacher time studies and providing technical assistance for districts to develop strategic staffing and scheduling models that respect teacher time. The 46-member Teacher Vacancy Task Force is comprised of teachers and school leaders representing all 20 education service center regions and school systems of various sizes and demographic makeups.
IDEA seeks approval for executive team led by sole superintendent, CEO. Staff writer. IDEA Public School Board of Directors, by a vote taken during the regular monthly board meeting, February 17th, approved amendments to IDEA's organizational leadership structure to continue to serve students effectively in their path to success. IDEA will seek approval of the changes from the Texas Education Agency to take effect on June 1, 2023. As part of the adjustments, the superintendent and chief executive officer roles will be reconsolidated into one position. As was the case at IDEA as recently as 2021, IDEA superintendent Jeff Cottrell will become CEO and superintendent with the board's full support. A veteran school administrator, Cottrell joined IDEA in June 2022. With vast experience leading, supporting, and directing both traditional school districts and charter schools throughout Texas. IDEA Board Chair Colin Sewell will step away from the volunteer acting CEO role he has filled since February 2022 as a volunteer. He will remain active in service at IDEA Public School, leading the board of directors and governing team as board chair. We have full faith in Jeff in his combined role because he is a visionary leader who leads with his heart and his laser focus on student outcomes, Sewell said in a news release. Under Jeff's leadership, IDEA will continue to harvest positive results from our students and family. I'm incredibly excited and honored for the opportunity to continue to serve our students and families in this new capacity, Cottrell said. The future is bright at IDEA Public Schools. As we align our organization's core values to drive excellence in every classroom for every student. IDEA Public Schools Board of Directors also proposed for the CEO and superintendent to appoint a chief schools officer to oversee area and school superintendents. In addition, a new executive position of presidents will be created to lead the organization's non-instructional departments. The president will report directly to the CEO and superintendent, serve as key thought partner, and support the CEO and superintendent by directing overseeing information system technology, advanced human assets, staffing, campus operations, marketing, and communications. Cottrill will soon begin the process of identifying a president and a chief schools officer, and those positions will be filled upon TEA's approval of the proposed amendment to IDEA's Texas Charter. King says Basin, Panhandle, politically similar. Canadian Republican rep now represents Andrews, Gaines counties by Bob Campbell. Now that statewide redistricting has added Andrews and Gaines County to Republican Ken King's 88th district, the Canadian Republican will include them to his plan to bolster security in public schools. Having recently driven the 700-mile round trip from his hometown to Andrews for a Chamber of Commerce banquet, King said the extra $30 billion in revenue the legislature will appropriate for the coming biennium should also enable them to address rural health care and road building and maintenance. On the heels of the tragedy in Uvalde, we'll be talking about allowing local control in every school district for school security, he said, referring to the legislative session that underway in Austin. Those who don't have the ability to have their own police forces may still need software monitoring, security sensors, and mental health training for health and school personnel to counsel troubled students before someone else happens. Andrews and Seminole are fanatic communities, fantastic communities. It was an absolute blessing to drive down there. I made a lot of new friends who are in the pleasure to work with. Asked what the Permian Basin has in common with the Panhandle High Plains north of Amarillo, King said his home country of Hemp Hill has a lot of oil and gas natural production, and there's a good deal of political cohesion throughout the 19-county district. In both the southern and northern halves of my district, people are concerned about water, education, transportation, border security, and property taxes, he said. We love our small towns and small town values. You could substitute the population of Andrews or Seminole with Canadians, and the communities would be pretty much the same. We love our Friday night football. King is a native of Canadian who graduated from his high school in 1990 and earned a bachelor's degree in business management at Southern Nazarene University in Bethany, Oklahoma. He and his wife, Robin, have two children. He grew up working in the family oil field service company and worked for 3 years in college as an oil field mechanic in Western Siberia. My family has owned King Well Services since 1959, and my first work experience was sweeping out the shop, he said. King owns Black Gold Pump and Supply and works in commercial real estate in Canadian, which has a population of 2,248. Hemphill County is not as flat as the rest of the 88th District, King said. We have mostly oil and gas and ranching with some farming. Each one of Texas's 150 state representatives represent about 194,000 people.
The cause behind constantly feeling cold. Dear Dr. Roach, my wife, age 68, always feels cold. She has mentioned this several times to her primary care physician, and the physician checks her blood to see if an increase in thyroid medication is warranted. The reading always comes back in the normal range, and the problem is not mentioned again until the next appointment. Meanwhile, my wife is uncomfortable most days of the week. Is it possible that an increase in medication is warranted even though her blood is normal? Might it be that normal for my wife is different than normal for other people? She has been on thyroid medication for at least 30 years, but this chilliness did not begin until she started warfarin after a heart valve replacement with a metal valve. We keep our house at 69 degrees Fahrenheit during the day in winter. She dresses warmly. She is approximately 50 pounds overweight. Dr. Roach answers, it's not uncommon for people to feel cold at levels where most people are comfortable. It's particularly common in middle-aged and older people. Although low thyroid levels are certainly a cause for being cold, your wife's doctor needs to be very careful not to overdo it. Without the exact thyroid numbers, I can't give specific advice, but the thyroid level doesn't have to be much higher than the normal range before the risk of cardiac arrhythmias, especially atrial fibrillation, starts to go up. That is a significant potential problem in a person with a prosthetic valve. There are other medical causes for feeling cold, especially anemia, which should be checked.
This is the Dear Abby column. Dear Abby, I am a man who has been wearing lingerie for the past few decades. I discovered my love of panties when I first slipped into my first pair at 17. At 22, I discovered the fun and sexiness of bras and other lingerie, and I wear them under my men's clothing. I have gone through periods of love and alternating shame for being an underdresser. I have confided this to a few women in my life and received mixed responses. Some were appalled. Others were okay with it. My wife is in the first category. I told her while we were dating and modeled some for her. She thought it was weird. I tried, for her sake, to repress my desire to wear lingerie, but it has returned recently. I have been buying panties, bras, and other items, and wear them only at work or when I'm alone. I have found some solace in finally opening up to women at the lingerie stores about what I am buying is for me, and I delight in the fact that they are accepting and help me find items I might like. How do I approach this subject again with my wife and ask if she's open to me wearing lingerie and more often? Signed, Living in Lingerie. Dear Living, you have already discussed this with your wife, and she has made her feelings known. Do not expect her to have become more understanding on the subject of underdressing. You are not the only straight man who finds this practice to be pleasurable. Because this is something you really feel compelled to do, go online to research groups for cross-dressers in your area and join one. Dear Abby, I am in love with my best friend, Mitch. He is a father of three great girls. He works hard, but can't handle his finances. His brother has to do it for him, or nothing would get paid, and his daughters wouldn't get what they need. Mitch has ADHD. He can't settle down. We tried dating, but he cheated on me. We didn't talk for months, and then started talking again, and things are good, even in the bedroom. But some days he clams up and won't talk to me at all. Then, when he wants something, he will call me. Mitch wanted a 55-inch TV, so I got it for him. Then he wanted the new Xbox, which, again, I bought. He makes twice as much as I do. Last week, he took off to see a girl and lied to me about it, saying he was working out of town. Mitch is coming home this weekend and wants to see me. I know what he wants, sex. Yes, the sex is great, but I think he is using me. He's 38, I'm 43. When we are together, we are good. But then he turns cold and doesn't talk to me for days. What do you think? Signed, Used in Kentucky. Dear Used, please reread your letter a few times. If you continue to see Mitch, hoping he will change, you are lost in a fantasy. The person you describe is dishonest, and he's using and milking you for everything he can get. Once you shut your wallet and cross your legs, he will disappear. Count on that. Please, for your own sake, make it soon. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.